This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
We have too many people talking. Only a few men have touched.
From Remnant Christian Network Nigeria, Apostle Aromeo Saidi, an author, a sought-after speaker, a spiritual giant seeking to fulfill God's mandate on earth.
Have you come close enough to see him? If you have, he will do something to your heart, and there will be nothing left for you to fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready and give a warm GBC welcome as he takes to the stage, Apostle Aromeo Saidi.
What can I say? I'm short of words. Doctor is just a genuine man. So humble. So I don't know what to do now. Thank you for having me come to Nottingham for the first time. I believe God will accomplish something in the next few minutes in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Mommy, for your kindness, for your humility, and for the privilege that I'll always remember. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bring illumination to your counsel, cause the fountain that is locked therein to be unleashed, and let every heart drink into the ceaseless flow of grace that is found around your throne. Grant that the least among our numbers will become as strong as David. In Jesus' mighty name, you may be seated. Now, what I need so that we can launch out quickly. Wait, somebody was here. All right. So you just look for strings. There's no need to preach after Reverend Samson has preached. So I'll just find the chord, the key that the Holy Spirit is on, and then we will allow him breathe on us. Now, your volume is too. Ephesians chapter 1. We are doing possessing our possessions, if I remember correctly. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I don't think we can do more than that one verse for the time. You will notice that before Adam was created, the garden that he was going to have as his habitat. No, you are not fooling. All right. So the garden that Adam was going to have as his habitat was adequately furnished before Adam was introduced into that ecosystem. Everything that Adam needed in order for him to survive, to sustain, and even to accomplish his assignment was built into his habitat. That's the same kind of structure that we have here. Before you were brought into the commonwealth of the bounties of grace, God had furnished the realm of the spirit with adequate resources to support your life, to support your destiny. And it will interest you to know that these blessings that are domiciled in the heavenly realms, it's a description of God's budgeting system. If God wants to accomplish projects, he wants to accomplish, wants to build a road, he wants to build something, build infrastructure. What he does is that he budgets for it. That this scripture is a revelation of an adequate budget system to fund what God wants to build, the resources required to fund that project that God intends to establish. And so we are introduced by Apostle Paul to a resource base that is held up in the spirit. But you see, I need to make some distinctions quickly so that we can journey together. Now, the first clarification I need to make here is that he domiciled these spiritual resources in the heavenly places in Christ. And that's a bit difficult because we are ambassadors that are functioning in the ethereal. And if God wants to fund my life, he should equip my bank account. So why is God depositing the resources that I need to prosecute destiny upon the face of the earth in the heavenly realms? That's the first question. Meanwhile, I think I need to answer that question. That's the first question. Okay, the second question is, the resources are in Jesus' account. These resources are in heavenly realms in Christ, because it is not only the divine that is in the heavenly places. We also have spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. So he holds in store these resources in Christ Jesus. It's held up in his name. So there are two difficult situations here. We have the resources in the heavenly realms. We have the resources held up in Christ's name and not my name. So that makes it very difficult for me. Meanwhile, those possessions, those resources that God has made available are designed for me to cash in order to be adequately mobilized to accomplish destiny. Are you there? Okay. Most of you don't know Nigeria, but I need to tell you about Nigeria. I just visited northern Nigeria not too long ago, and Kaduna State, to be precise. And if you have landed property, I don't know what is obtainable in the United Kingdom, but if you have landed property in Nigeria, there is something called the Certificate of Occupancy that is issued, and your name is stenographed in the land registry. Even the government will need to compensate you if they have any need to make use of that property. But unfortunately, the settlement where Christians that have retired, they decided to settle in a certain place. About 250 houses were demolished, and these guys were in custody of certificate of occupancy. And they actually went to court and they won the case, because it was the same government system that issued the certificates of occupancies for each of the portions of land that is in view. But you know how law works. You know, you can push it, you can go for appeal and buy some time, and the government that was responsible for that level of wickedness will leave power sometime, and that liability will be left for an incoming government. You understand the politics. Now, these guys had C of O, but there were victims of trespass. So, you see, if God were to domicile these resources in the natural, and a government like that comes into power, they can dispossess you of these resources that God has made available for you. So God decided to upload them, to store them in the cloud, in the spiritual cloud. See, I need to establish a background before we make a little progress. And the moment the window, I sense that the window in the spirit is secured, we'll stop talking. And then we'll just allow the Holy Spirit to bless us. So that's the reason why he domiciled these resources in the heavenly realms, so that no political situation can dispossess you of that which he has made available to equip you, to empower you, and to give you the capacity to prosecute your destiny. The reason also why it is held up in Christ and not in your name, there was no personal account that was opened for you, is because the last time God tried to bind his work on a man, which was Adam. Adam went into a transaction, a very terrible transaction with Satan. And at the end of the day, Adam was dispossessed of the resources, of the glory, of the destiny, of the hope that God was offering him. And Jesus had to come pay the price to achieve restoration. So in the New Testament context, that level of possible liability is adequately taken care of, in that the resources are domiciled in heavenly places and they are kept in care of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Now, having understood that, we have a problem. The problem is that the substance of these resources is spiritual. If you don't know how to trade in the realm of the spirit, you'll never be able to actualize and to download the resources that were designed to empower you to become fruitful. So when we talk about possessing our possessions, there is a little twist in the New Testament concept. A little twist. Because if you study your Bible, you'll find out that there are five covenants in the Bible. And it will surprise you to know that only one is old. Only one is old. The covenant of Noah is still in force. It's the covenant of Moses that is old. And the aspect of the covenant that has to do with sacrifices and all of that. There is a superior sacrifice that has taken over that possibility. Those sacrifices were types and shadows. I know you know that. So the covenant of Moses is old. The covenant of Abraham is not old. The covenant of Noah is not old. In fact, the transaction that God had with Abraham is the operating system upon which Jesus came to establish our redemption. All that Jesus did was that he extended the bandwidth of that covenant and included Gentiles like you and me into the commonwealth of something, a contract that God had with Abraham. So that, if you are a student of Galatians chapter 3, you know what I'm talking about. We don't have time to open so many scriptures. That covenant is still in force. In fact, on a better foundation, it has greater bandwidth and coverage. Much more than that which was operational in the day of Israel. Because the descendants of Abraham are twofold. There were two metaphors that were used to describe them. One was the stars of heaven. The other was the sand on the seashore, earthly and heavenly. And we form his heavenly genealogy. We have access and right into the same bowl of commonwealth that is transaction with God created. If you are still with me, say amen. So the twist in this equation is that when Jesus came upon the scene, he unveiled the fact that everything that was mirrored in the Old Testament was a type and shadow of spiritual reality. So Apostle Paul, you know, it took him 17 years to find the utterance to speak about the things he wrote in the book of Ephesians. 17 years of prayer. He even requested prayer from the congregations that he pastored across Asia Minor, that they should pray for him so that utterance would be granted to him. He had encountered things in Arabia that he could not put to human words. Took him 17 years of gradual precipitation for him to arrive at that point where he found language to communicate the things he had encountered in the spirit in the wilderness of Arabia. The first mystery among many that he unveils is, in Nigeria we call it Central Bank. I don't know what you call it here. Bank of England. Right, so these resources that he's speaking about, spiritual blessings, that's like the Bank of England. And all the resources required to power your unique destiny consistent with the eternal purpose of God is held in this system. Another thing that he revealed when he found the utterance was a heavenly ministry. The ministry of the administrator domiciled in the heavenlies, which is the office of the Christ, the functionality of the office of the Christ. If you are a Bible student here, you will know that the Bible says that we should come boldly unto the throne of grace. Has it occurred to you that grace is administered from a throne? A throne. There is an administration that is responsible for the distribution of grace. Oh, you're not following. So, you see, I have a punishment for every congregation that is not following me. I reduce the syllabus. That's a punishment. Are you with me?
Yes,
this man found utterance after 17 years. Nobody ever spoke like this. Nobody in the entire scripture ever spoke like this. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. What school did he go to? Was it Oxford or Cambridge? This man goes over the roof. He's speaking about the things that are in the heavenlies with such constructive sequence of understanding. It's not a product of learning. This one was handed out to him. There are things that cannot be taught. There are things that you cannot learn. If you receive it, then it was given to you from heaven. This is one of such things. Spiritual blessings domiciled in the heavenly realms in Christ. So the substance of these blessings is that they are spiritual. And it is ours because God has blessed us with it's our possession. But you see, we need to know what it will take for us to possess it and begin to function in it. Please help me tell your neighbor, you are adequately funded. Just think, tell you. Adequately funded. You don't have a funding problem. Because everything that pertains to your life, prosecuting life and functioning in godliness, is captured in this resource base that we see in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. And you know, God, in order to make you needy, he wants you to squander, he wants you to spend from these resources. So what he did was that by an act of his wisdom and sovereignty, he created you insufficient. Deliberately. I know you got a first class in University of Glasgow. But you are still insufficient. And God deliberately created you that way because he wants you to sustain the kind of insight that David sustained many generations ago when he said, I will look unto the hills from whence comes my help. It is only a man that has come to terms with his insufficiency that will seek sufficiency beyond himself. That's how God designed it to be, that we will seek sufficiency beyond ourselves. And when we go to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26, we'll now see the idea that God had in mind when the scripture says that it is the Spirit that helps our infirmities. And infirmities is in plural. So the Holy Ghost is designed to swallow up all the weaknesses that God allowed in your physical outlook. Because God's plan is that it is when you find the help of the Holy Spirit that you begin to experience completeness. So man plus Holy Ghost is now the doctrine of sufficiency. When you hear Paul say we are able ministers of the new covenant, not according to the letter, but according to the Spirit. We are not able because we are educated. We are not able because we attended Oxford. We are not able because we are exposed and experienced. We are able because we are not of the letter. We are able because we are energized by the Spirit. There is a spirit operation in our lives that sucks in and swallows our insufficiency so that we can function on that fully funded possible manifestation. Where there is no lack, where there is no insufficiency. For the Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound, so that you, having all sufficiency in all, if you take note of the alls in that scripture, might abound unto every good work. This insufficient man, when he finds the secret behind God's supply, then he realizes that God is able to make all grace abound. I was born a stammerer, a very terrible stammerer, and it runs through my family. And the weight of this infirmity, this speech impediment, was heavy upon me. I could sit in a class and pass examinations. I could write well. I could get by, but I could not speak. So if I want to speak, I need to stand close to a table. And as I'll be jabbing the table in a certain rhythm that will provide adequate ventilation for me to make a few words. And that was how I was. Until I became troubled. I became troubled because I saw a vision of glory. And in that vision of glory, I was a preacher. It was a great contradiction. I don't want to take you into all the details of that vision, but it was a contradiction because so I came out and I knew that that vision of glory came from God. So I went to God to ask him questions. You want me to be a preacher? You created me a stammerer. How does that work? Is that how? I didn't know he wanted to help. He wanted to give me a perpetual sense of deficiency, so that that perpetual sense of deficiency would be the reason for which I make demands on this resource base for perpetual supply. God doesn't want you to be independent. So sometimes, even if you don't have an infirmity, we create one. You see, what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil did to Adam was that it made him independent. The day he ate of that fruit, he had proclaimed independence from God. But if you check the blueprint for man in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says, let us make man in our own image. Let us make man in our own likeness. The description of man cannot be separated from God, because he was supposed to function in the image of God so that he can carry the authority of God. He was supposed to function in the likeness of God so that he can represent God. He is a creature of the kingdom. Yeah. designed by God to become a step-down system that will bring all the dimensions of the authority of God and the wisdom of God into this frame of reference called the three-dimensional world. This being, if he is in adequate alignment with his superior that sits in the heavens, and he functions the way his superior functions, he will have dominion. So the idea of man cannot be separated from God. And the devil was aware of that. So the devil came and plotted man out of his alignment. And if man was going to stand independent of his maker, he was going to be a mutation. In that mutated state, because he was designed to be a creature of service, he will begin to serve another. Namely, Satan. Listen to me. You please preach for me. Preach to your neighbor. You must serve something. It's just like you are not following. Are you following me? It's just like those angelic beings that were errant spirits that fell, right? They were designed to be service entities. So even today, which doctors can carry out incantations and summon them and give them instructions? You see, they were designed to be service entities. So even though they fell out of God's sphere, it didn't change the orientation. They were still service tools. You were created to be an extension of God in the earth. You were created to be a being whose potential will be adequately realized when submission is achieved. Alright? You must submit to something. If you refuse to submit to God, you're already in active submission. You see, it's not like let's travel from here to here. Saying no to God is alignment with Satan already. You don't need to change position. Just that, do you understand that? Like the spirit realm. Are you with me? The spirit realm is not different from this realm in terms of distance. It is sitting in another dimension. You just need the spirit that unlocks the realm to begin to educate you. And you function there. Like the Holy Ghost is the one that unlocks the divine realm. The moment you begin to have intercourse with him, you begin to function in the realm that he represents. Are you? No change of distance in the same place. But you are already dealing with things way beyond what you can imagine. We were created as agencies of submission in order to beam into manifestation things that are hidden away in the realm of the spirit. And the realm of the spirit is a vast island, all right, that contains so many entities. I don't have time to do Bible study. Maybe the next time I come, we will journey, and you will now. It will make you think for a while. Then I will end that lecture when I come. Choose this day whom you will serve. Because if you don't choose it deliberately, you have already made a choice. Because there's no vacuum in that place. So the moment Adam declared independence to God by eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the implication was that he doesn't want to. Because if he eats of the tree of life, he'll become an eternally submissive being that will not have some powers and will need to go seek God. Okay, what's the meaning of this? Right? Then God will be the one to give him light, give him insight. Then he will function according to the insight that he has received from God. But he went for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he has his own independent analysis of things. So he doesn't need God anymore. That was the trick. That was what Satan preached to Adam. That if you eat of this fruit, you will discover that you are the God that is in this place. You won't need to seek for another God anywhere. You are divinity. to a creature that was designed insufficient, was deceived to feel that he was sufficient in himself. And as long as he held that posture, he became an organ for the extension of the rule of darkness. The civilization of Satan's kingdom manifested through him. He could no longer access the resources that God has put in place to ensure that he was adequately funded to fulfill destiny. I don't have time. We need to do a refresher course quickly. Because there are some definitional terms we need to do. Like, number one, what is a spiritual thing? Who can help us? What is a spiritual thing? Have you tried to? It's when you put your mind to think on that question, you will find out that it is not as easy as you think. Have you ever thought of that? What is a spiritual thing? If you can't answer that question, you cannot discern the witchcraft in your neighborhood. And I assure you. Okay, let's be friends for now. I was raised in the woods. Alright? We used to cast out devils without cameras, without selfies. There were no selfies. We cast out devils so that we could survive. Because we did it for survival, not... Because if you don't do it, you die. Because of that, the Lord helped us by increasing our capacity to design environments, design atmospheres. So the first time I came into the United Kingdom, I saw that London, the atmosphere of London was more terrible than my village. And I tell you this as an intercessor. I tell you this as an intercessor. The only other place that I saw that same atmosphere is Boya, Cameroon. So my first question in this class is, what is a spiritual thing? Because the Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings domiciled in heavenly realms in Christ. Alright, let's try to answer that question. Then we will now go into the laws of conversion. It is through the conversion theory that we can convert these resources and bring them into a form where we can utilize them in nothing. Alright? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, let's just jump because of time. Maybe we'll begin from verse 6. Theologically, we are not supposed to begin from verse 6. It's a verse that is explaining another verse, you know. So, but because of our time constraints. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that cometh to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. First of all, this, are you there? This wisdom of God is in a mystery. And the Bible says that God hid this wisdom, but he did not hide it from us, but he hid it for us, because it is ordained unto our own advantage. Now, why is it? Are you there? So there is a wisdom. There is a wisdom that God ordained for your advantage, and that wisdom is hidden. is not at face value. It was that wisdom that was at work when I was born a stammerer. Something was hidden. And I needed to take possession of it if I was ever going to fulfill my destiny. That thing you call your trouble, you call your insufficiency, you call your downtime, is likely to be suggestive of a mystery. Something hidden. That is not hidden from you, but is hidden for you, so that the princes of this world will not know it exists. But if you can access it, you will realize it was hidden for your advantage. It says the princes of this world had not known this dimension of wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It means that the wisdom we speak about was manifested around the death of Jesus. Because in the eyes of Satan, he killed Jesus. But in the eyes of God, he set him free. Today he can live in my heart and live in yours. And if we allow him, his influence mature in us, each and every one of us will have the capacity of Jesus. So the devil is going to have a more terrible time, in fact, a global terrible time because of that mistake. The Bible reveals that the kingdom of darkness regrets making that mistake ever because they set him free. It was that wisdom. Satan couldn't see beyond it because it was hidden in a mystery. So there, that is the reason why there are many miscalculations of the devil in the Bible, because there are many things that were hidden before Satan was created. Satan is a created being. He met the show, and the show was in existence aeons before he showed up. No matter how intelligent a student he is, his notes are not complete. So even you yourself is a mystery to you, except you know the law of conversion. Those heavenly things, you may never behold them. Except. So he shows us the secret. What I'm asking for is not what God meant, created for you. No. I'm asking what God designed for me. It is my possession. It is in Christ Jesus. But it is a mystery. And he defines a mystery in this scripture. Things that eyes have not seen. Things that ears have not heard. Things that have never occurred to the heart of man. It means it's God that regulates what enters our heart. You know you can be a devout intercessor, a devout prayer person, and some things never entered your heart. Until Reverend Samson now begins to, but I've been faithful. No. That's not, you see, we preach in part and we prophesy in part. God regulates what we can access. When you see Christ manifesting through another individual, then you will now discover that you are not the best. You are part of a jigsaw puzzle. A maze. That the eternal wisdom is weaving out. You may not even know the implication and the impact of your ministry in your lifetime. Because if you spoke by the Holy Ghost, your voice will never die. There is a mystery. You will never stumble upon it at face value. Because you attended a lecture. You sat before a professor. You stumbled into a library. Mysteries are only decoded by the Spirit of God. See, when we begin to go into the laws of conversion, you will find out that every believer seated here today, you cannot gain adequate mileage in life or in destiny if you do not know the chartered personality that is designed to open you up into the layers of the realm of the divine. Oh my. checking that you will not deliberately and intentionally cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit and believe that you will be mighty through God is a deception that you need to kill this night. If you entered into the realm of the Spirit any other way other than the Holy Spirit, you enter through the vistas of error. It is in old age you will know that all the mileage you gained was in error. And that's why once and again we are compelled to wait upon the Lord, because even if you are tired of waiting and he has not yet come, if you know the Lord, you will know that you can't do anything. You just wait. He's the only one that can open that door. And the more you wait for him, the more you will consider precious that which he will show you. And you will hold it dearly. When you see a loose person, a loose brother, a loose sister, it is a sign that you have not yet found this mystery. You have not found it. Because you will hold it dear. That's how you know a man that tarried. He waited until the Holy Spirit came and unlocked the window. And anything he enters into, he holds dear because he waited. All right? The thing is not common. The thing is not readily available. It is handed out. You can't even... Are you there? The only thing we know how to do is to pray. Have you entered into the department of answers to prayer? Do you know how prayers are answered? He said, none of the princes of this world had known it. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, in the war of thrones, when spiritual entities are in combat and battle for territory, for influence, when spiritual entities intend to extend the frontiers of their influences upon the face of the earth, it is a war of mystery. Even Jesus, we have to concoct a parable before he speaks. So that if it falls on the ears of a man that is not seeking, it will be like a tale to him, and the substance, the keys that are being handed out will never, never be known. He said, to them that are without, these things are stories. But to you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Ah, I am a formulated. May you not be a normal man. May you not be an ordinary man. It is given unto you to know those things that God has hidden pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. It's given for you to know it. It's given for you to know it. I remember we were in a meeting like this and we were worshiping and praising God, and somehow the Holy Spirit took the worship away. Just like the choir, as you were moving, would have continued. You were at the borderline. We were at the borderline. The cutting was about. Yes, you were just there. I could see an angel already. And this angel that I saw came with oil. Yes, because I felt a little of it. I felt a little of it. All right. So this angel came with oil, and there was a lady in this congregation that the angel began to anoint. Then when the meanwhile, what I'm saying will happen before we leave, okay? You don't need to believe it. You don't even need to say amen. Don't support it. You see, I don't know how to explain to you. You don't watch BBC News and you say amen. Do you say amen? So what I'm doing, I'm casting news. You don't need to believe it, but it will happen. Because I saw it. It's reality. Now, so, as you were singing, and the thing began, how I wish you went for another 15 minutes. I would have been able to tell a full story. Yeah. A full prophetic story. But the only part of the screen I saw was the release of this angel with oil. And the angel was now anointing the lady. And then I saw in the spirit that that anointing was going to increase her capacity for revelation. But these revelations I'm talking about will come through the channel of her dreams in the night. So that means before the service ends, we'll find that lady. Alright? It must happen. So you were there. You were, if you had gone, then I would have been able to tell a complete story, a prophetic story, just like the story that was told about Lucifer. It was Isaiah that saw that experience and he made a story out of it. How had thou fallen from heaven? Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, how had thou cast to the ground? Thou that didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I would have been able to give a full story if you had continued for 15 minutes. The reason is because I found out early that the custodian of the entry powers into the realm where we do business in Christ happens to be the Holy Ghost. So each and every one of us, we need to go to school, the school to learn from the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You see, it will take you a full calendar year to know what pleases Him and what displeases Him. Then you will limit yourself to the things that please Him. That's if you want Him around. You will learn it yourself. You will even see a situation where you are right and someone comes to accuse you falsely. And you know that if you go into the fight, you will win. But it's at the expense of your relationship with the Holy Ghost. You will learn how to reframe and lose so that you can walk with Him. People will call you Jew. They will call you fake guy. They will say he has no spine. But that guy is investing. He's investing because he knows that the best aspect of his life and manifestation is linked to mysteries, things that are secrets, things that he cannot learn, things that must be handed out to him. And if he has not labored in the Holy Spirit sufficiently to have that level of intimacy that can grant him entrance into things that cannot be taught, things that he cannot learn, things that he can only know by the knowing of revelation. That's how I overcame my dumbness and I became a preacher. And my mom heard me preach one day. That day was one of those days when the Lord gave me strong utterance. Sometimes it happens like that. And my mom wept. So when people ask her, why is she weeping? Say, that's not the guy I gave birth to. That's not the boy. This one is different. There is no natural way. If you knew me before, you will know. No, this is not it. But you see, in that economy of God's resource base, the ability to overcome my speech impediment was a resource that was domiciled there. The point is this, will you possess your possession? She wept. She wept. I said, what? So when we went home, she now said, my son, where did you? What happened? So I've not answered that question to you today. We're still looking for the right opportunity. But as it is written, I had not seen. So help me count. An ear has not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man. The things, underline things, because we want to define what spiritual things are. What's a spiritual thing? The things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all what? Things. You underline that too. That, I think that's number two. So the Bible speaks about a search facility that is stronger than Google. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God searches all things. It searches chemistry, searches law, can inspire you on how to win a case. You have looked at it with all your expertise. You were confused. The gray areas were so broad. And then you just get one inspiration. Because he has searched into law and brought out the singular thing that you need to emphasize. Yeah, you are a doctor. And you know how medical practice can be. Sometimes you are not just in control. Then the Lord now brings an inspiration. You see, you don't need to know all the medical books in this matter. This is what you need to know. For the Spirit searches. He searches all things. Do you know him? Have you experienced his search? Those of you that are in school, then he goes into your textbook, he goes into your notebook. Then he gives you the search results. We passed exams that way. Yeah. For the Spirit searches all things, not just spiritual things, he searches all things, searches law, searches all things. Even searches for a wife. And those of us that met our wives in the night were seers. Yeah. He can search even in the night. Searches all things. Even the deep things of. So nothing is spared from his searching. Have you ever put this search facility to work? Your life is narrow and lean. Oh my God. There is a place where you can get search results. Search. Searches all things. Searches into the deep things of God. The other time, you know, for the past few years, I've had a burden for Africa. So I started hopping from nation to nation, meeting with pastors, doing conferences. Eastern Africa, Western Africa, Southern Africa. And I came back home. Because for every mission I go, I draw up a research. I try to find out, what did I find? So I can tell you about 12 things that you'll find on the continent of Africa and how the Christianity in Africa. It's a mixture. First of all, there is a false prophetic move masquerading as the true prophetic move on the continent of Africa. Because the discernment quotient of the average believer is in an all-time low. Right? We believe that just because someone can say your name, say what you do, say what job you work on, you spoke by God. You see, some of us grew up in the villages. There is a masquerade in my village. Do you know what masquerade is? Oh, they don't know. Luke, brother Luke. Do you know what a masquerade is? You have some idea? Alright, so in our culture, right? This is the doctrine. Let me just tell you the raw doctrine, all right? The raw doctrine that is in that culture. The doctrine is that they believe that the dead guys and the living guys in a family are all family members. You get that doctrine? So, there is a priesthood that is set up, which is necromancy, uses a familiar spirit to mimic that the dead component of that of the family. Okay. Now, if you used to know, let's say there's a land dispute between his family and the lawyer's family. That's this one happens in my village. Are you with me? Maybe the transaction on this land took place between your grandfather and his grandfather. They will do that thing and bring your grandfather that sold the land to you and his grandfather. And if you knew these men while they were alive, it's their voice you will hear. And the people that are learning this trade will use a medium to be making the voice. But the one I'm talking about, you don't need a medium. No human being. You just be hearing the voices. Everybody in the vicinity will hear his grandfather's voice, hear his own grandfather's voice. And there's no medium. You just be hearing it. Meanwhile, it's a familiar spirit that is doing that thing. That familiar spirit has been studying the family from so many generations. But it will be so real for those people that know their voices that this is none other than this man. That was how family disputes were settled. That was how land disputes were settled. Because they invoked, according to the culture, the dead. So even people in ministry, say, there's nothing wrong. They have family members. What are we? So that's where those of us that are radicals, that say, no, this is darkness. You don't know what persecution, what. But we knew it was darkness. So that's number one. Then there's another one. Just in case you are lost. And you don't know what family you belong to. There's one masquerade. They will bring the masquerade up. The masquerade will start from your 10th generation. And call your great, 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 great grandfather's name. And trace the family tree. And tell stories till you. So that's how that family will adopt that person. So we have seen masquerades do that. So the fact that someone comes, what is a sign of a true prophet? What is a sign of a true prophet? He has the capacity to reveal the things of God. For the Spirit searches all things and evil. Because the things of God are deeper than all things. Even what? The things of God. Here, listen to people that claim to be prophets today and hear their utterance. For many of them, you will not find them saying the things of God. Just be patient. He's not revealing anything that. No, this one he's saying, you need God to know it. And if there's no such sign, he doesn't have a prophetic ministry. The Spirit, he searches all things. And even what? The deep things of God. God does not only speak through a prophet. God is committed to revealing himself to a prophet. When the knowledge of God is scanty on a man's lips, he cannot be a prophet. There's a lot of disclosures that is associated with the calling of a prophet. You won't call for it. Angels will come into your space. For you, prayer will not be mechanical. As you just give your heart to pray, supernatural things will be happening of their own accord. Things that God will begin to teach you about. So your life will be steeped in a depth that you did not call for because of where he had domiciled you to function. The Spirit, he searches all things. The deep things of God. I tell people, you can deceive me in the day, but not in the night. After you have finished deceiving me, when I go back and I begin to speak in tongues in the night, begin to speak in tongues, you say, for your information, that man lied, that man. I say, I don't know now. I don't know if you are saying the truth, but I will find out by tomorrow morning. Yes, I will know. Because he will come. See, that one, that man lied. He's a liar. As he was speaking, it was a lying spirit that was speaking through him. For the spirit searches all things. So how many things do we have now? Huh? Okay. Two. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man? Okay, things. That's three. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things. That's what? Of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So, you see the arrangement? You say your spirit knows your things. I don't have time to talk about calibration. Calibration. Your spirit knows your things. The spirit of man knows the things of man. You know, when you, the engineer, for instance, that set up this building, he knows by calculation and the things, the engineering laws he followed, he knows the capacity of this pillar. All right? You must have heard the scripture say that God knows our frame. He remembers. So he knows the your tensile stress level, your tensile strain level. It's on the strength of that knowledge that he regulates the temptations that comes around your life. He said, the spirit of man knows the things of man. And I don't want to go into the things of man now. But the Bible also says that the spirit of God knows what? The things of God. The things of God are calibrated on the spirit of God. So what God meant by giving us his spirit was that he gave us the opportunity to be able to access the things of God through the spirit of God that knows the things of God. So the next question I need to ask, how many things do you know that you know by God? These are signs that will give you an insight into your compliance, your readiness to really explore God as astronauts explore space. If as a mother here, you give birth to children before you name them, and you didn't receive the name before they came, it means you are lazy. Because you held that child for 9 months and there was no insight. Darkness, all through. You didn't switch on the search engine. So you just gave birth to strangers. You don't know how to order the lives of those children. You think just sending them to you go to Birmingham school, you go, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I saw my children before they were born. I knew the order in which they came. I knew what they were here to, what they are here to do. There is no way you can, they are not part of a production line, so you cannot design how to disciple them as a whole. For 9 months, you had even people like Mary that did not have the Holy Ghost, they labored, and God dispatched angels. Let me not trouble you. Let me shut down the things of God. For we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we might know the things of God that are given to us freely from God. We have received a spirit which is not of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. I'm talking about the knowing of revelation, not the knowing of study, not the knowing where you sow seeds on the soil of your soul, but the knowing that comes through the unction that we have received from the Holy One, by which we know all things. Who have received a spirit which is not of this world, or the spirit which is of God, that we may know that the things that are freely given to us of God is only the things that you know that are given to you by God that you can possess. The Holy Spirit, first of all, will give you a knowing of those things. A knowing of those things. I was talking about a meeting like this that we were in, and the Holy Spirit took over. And then I saw myself. And this life had ended for me. I was no longer in this world. I was in the other one, the next world. Yes. And I saw that we were saints with white and a sea of heads, an endless sea of heads. And we were rejoicing. We were rejoicing. We were rejoicing. You know, it was like homecoming. You could see people you read about. John Knox. Then, meanwhile, that place was white with light. It was glistening with glory. Then they said Jesus was coming to that place. So we all laid on the ground. And then one light that made the light that was previously there look like darkness now began to shine and rage. So we could not even lift our head because you will go blind. And Jesus passed, and I was lying here. He now came. I saw his feet. And he touched me. He said, "Stand up." When I stood up, I saw some men and women I've been reading about. I never saw any of them in life. Few of them. He said, "Go and stand here." It was a sea of heads. So what I understood, the angel that was giving me insight about what happened told me that if I'm faithful, even in glory, that's when I will see my true rank. I repented. As the praise and worship was going on, I started repenting first. Started fresh repentance. Eh? So you have this glorious plan for me. Jesus Christ. I checked my life. I checked the way I was relating with my wife, whether I was a wicked man or... Do you know that vision is before my eyes every day? Yes. When there is trouble, before I respond, I will check. Will he be pleased? Even when I finish preaching today, I will go back to him in the night and kneel down by my bedside and ask, "How did I?" I'm walking towards that glory that I saw. I saw something. The Bible says concerning Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, He regulated the present. He gave him the impetus to survive on natural things. What have you seen? Because the Bible says that the Spirit searches all things. What have you seen? If you have seen nothing from him, you will not put yourself under pressure to become anything. My first trip to heaven was at the age of 13. It was the angel that I normally see with a very slim face that carries a scroll that told me what happened. He said, "Do you know that you were supposed to die at 13? That this was supposed to be your death." Meanwhile, my mom is a nurse. I've been struggling. I had high fever. I didn't make it. And I was in heaven for 8 hours. And I can tell you that I know it is 8 hours because a clock was on my head like this while I was lying down on that sick bed. All right? So I know when I woke up, when I came back, I was there for 8 hours. See, these four angels were sent to fight for your soul so that your soul will come back because you have not fulfilled your assignment. That was when I was told I was a preacher. I was 13 years old. And before I came back into my body, Jesus said, if you commit immorality, your life on earth will end. So there was no rope, no allowance for immorality in the agreement. That was how I married a virgin. Because no matter what you do, I will remember that place. Yes. It's only my wife I've known till today. I love her. Hey! Are you most sad to? Yeah. Your life will become weak without weight when you have seen nothing. For the Spirit searches all things. It is the things that you have seen that you can lay hold on. It is the eyes He gives you to see through that you can behold your portion in the vast maze of His enterprise. What seest thou? Anytime God wanted to train prophets those days, He trained them in sight and said, what do you see? What do you see? If you see nothing, nothing will happen. This is one area where we can have no counterfeit. If you have seen nothing, you will be nothing. Every follower of Jesus must be stirred in the spirit to see beyond the natural. That becomes your driving force. It becomes the reason why you are not depressed when others are already lost. What seest thou? It becomes an anchor for your soul. It keeps you on your toes. 1,000 may fall by your right hand side. 10,000 by the other side. But you are still in check. The reason is because you saw something. This is beyond the library. It's beyond the lecture. This is spiritual sight. And how it provides an anchor for the soul. In Nigeria, a high politician's wife sent me a message that God has approved me to be sleeping with her. No, don't cry, don't cry. Just listen to my story, just with gravity in your soul. If you are excited, you will lose the reason for which I risk to tell you this testimony. You know there is that woman is one of the most beautiful Nigerians alive now. The reason why it was not a deal was because, you know, they told me when there was no deal. I was told from there. Not by an angel. Jesus told me himself, young man, if you find yourself in immorality, you will come back. So I couldn't yield. Because the things that Jesus revealed to me, they were more brilliant in my eyes than that offer. I noticed that every stage of my life, I will have that offer. You see, Jesus warned me before time because He knows that my life is rigged with temptations after that order. What have you found? If you have not found anything, you will become nothing. You will possess nothing. You will just be going through the motions. Yes, I have an MBBS degree. I'm doing public health masters. There are so many people like that. But if you find what is written, what is a mystery, what has been held as a mystery that princes do not know, if you find that thing, you will stand out. And nothing will take it away from you. They can take away the coat of many colors that you carry. But there is something that Satan can never take away. Oh my God, I don't know how to say it stronger. There's something he can never take away. Where you are seated there, we are going to pray a prayer as I try to round up. So that we can do maybe 10 minutes practicals. You know, the kingdom of God is not in words. It's not in words. You know, I used to be a teacher those days. And if you want to teach biology, there are several things you cannot teach adequately, except you illustrate it with the aid of a diagram. The things of the kingdom of God are such that it is only power that can illustrate it. The utensil that is used to illustrate kingdom things is called power. So when we finish the theoretical aspect, we need to do practicals so that the Spirit of God can preach by himself. Many times that makes a stronger impact on your heart than the rhetorics of a preacher. More and more, the Lord is coming to the stage these days because there is something glorious he wants to restore. And we are privileged that he chose this time because it is obvious it will happen in our lifetime. There is a secret that was hidden for your advantage. And when you find it, you will stand out. Doesn't matter the name of your family. Doesn't matter the country of your origin. It doesn't matter how you are regarded in society. We came from the wilderness, from the desert. But when we found this treasure, it took us, it's taken us to the ends of the earth. God has spoken a word over your life for which you will need to labor to uncover. And when you see it, every other thing that is contesting for that place in your heart will fall like a pack of cards. We want to pray. And the prayer is simple. Oh my God, that the Lord might open the eyes of your heart. And give you a glimpse quickly. In the next 5 minutes, He wants to take you on a spiritual journey. You will not change location physically, but he can travel with you and cause your heart to grip things that were kept secret that princes and principalities do not know, so that you will know the reason for which you need to strive. I said in my prayer that it is God's will for the least among us to become as strong as David. He will begin, oh my God, you know what? Forget about your neighbor and rise in the spirits. No, you don't. Well, if you feel comfortable standing, no problem. Standing or sitting is okay. But just make sure you're on your own. Forget about the person hanging around you. Forget about the person hanging around you. Yes, we want to navigate in the spirit through the help of the Holy Ghost, that eyes might look upon things that angels have not seen, that the fierce lions have not looked upon. They are secrets that have been locked up in the realms of God. There is an invitation tonight that you might look upon such things and your heart might hold tightly to them. You have possessions in the spirit locked away for many eons. For eyes have not seen, for ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Such things which God will do for them that love him. There are things that God will do for those he loves. There are other things that God will do for those that love him. It is such things that he says eyes have not seen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are things that God will do for those he loves.
Greater still are things that God will do for them that love God. He said, eyes have not seen it. He said, ears have not heard it. He said, it has not occurred in the heart of man. You have not reasoned it as vast as your mind is. You have not stumbled upon it. It is beyond your reasoning capacity. It must be handed out. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost, take away the veil. Take it away tonight. Take it away. I covile mama. Siko basu senaite lamando. Take away the veil. The blindfold has kept us in darkness for too long. Oh, God, we call upon your name. Samine, ulame, kuvai lomaye. Take away the blindfold. Cause us to see the fire of your glory. Sindiye kameko mala. Sabo mene. Sina kaina bado. What seest thou, O young man? Aye canaro mo. The eyes of your understanding must be quickened. Zume la manaye ela kolomai. Ay la mamo sane ikaile mala. Oh shit. Sume la kanemoke. Ye kanabusi ukaila mo samida selida. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Iya ye kanabui sania kobe namai. Sime kananabo amene kosamai ikede samaye koma komina sandele. Aha! Aha! Come on. For there is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eyes have not seen, the lion's webs have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion's part by it. He putteth forth his hands upon the rock. He overturned the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth him forth to light. But where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Yeah, Samina came up, Sinailo Bena, Seminal, Ole, Silamo Kena, Sinaika Bo, Igemelea.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. There is an individual in this place. You have a healing ministry. And from what I see, there is a flame that you were supposed to carry for the last 4 years in the United Kingdom. Healing flame. Healing revival. But you have shut down those resources. Shut down that outlet. That outlet by which God was intending to be glorified. That's why the grace is coming back. It's been restored. Ooh. Bring that lady for me. You know what? I see three angels. These three angels are the ministering spirits sent to bring revelation to three prophetic people in this place. Now, you see, the anointing of God will begin to touch these prophetic people, to begin to come upon them, to begin to come upon them, because there is a stronger activation. There is a stronger activation that God wants to do in their lives. They have God. We're beginning to come on these three individuals. He wants to bring about a stronger activation where you begin to encounter angels on a regular basis. Messages will be coming, insight for intercession, all kinds of things will begin to take place. Begin to take place. Aye, suka besoni, braisko patula hande. The Lord whispers to me. He whispers. There is someone that will function fluently in the ability to interpret tongues. There is an anointing coming on one of those prophets. You will be able to operate in the gift of diverse tongues and interpretation. Ibero seek. I am. Now listen. I don't know which one of you on this front row. I don't know. But yeah, I see hunger. I see hunger, thirst. The Lord will put his hand on one of them, on this front row. There is an intensity that is kindled. Grace comes upon you so that you can see into the realm of the spirit. You can see into the realm of the spirit. There's someone here on this row. The hand of God will come upon you in the next 12 seconds. In the next 12 seconds. On this row. On this row. On this row. On this row. The hand of God will come so strong in the next 12 seconds because, oh my God, oh my God. It will come upon you strong, strong. There are two of them. This is one. Then another one somewhere on this row. Somewhere on this row. The hand of God will come upon you. It will come strong. It will come strong. Holy Ghost. Come, sister, come.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.